and under good teaching and good preaching. Lord, we pray that you will continue to take care of Brother John. Lord, through his faithfulness, we also gain. Lord, we thank him for that. We certainly thank you for that also. And help us be more faithful as we go through this day and every day, Lord. Help us stand strong. Just help us have a good testimony. Lord, we do thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we're down to verse number 11. And that reads, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." When we read Scripture, we need to pay attention to words. And if we have to do a word study to find out what it means or where it comes from, that's fine. But as long as you don't get to the point where you're changing the Word of God, like some of these preachers and teachers do, they'll go back to the Greek and Hebrew and then say, it should be this. Now, you can use the Greek and Hebrew to verify what the Word of God is saying, but not to change it. Okay? We know what a Greek, what a Jew is, and when it talks about uncircumcision and circumcision here, do you know what that's talking about? It's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. When you read those and study out what the uncircumcision is and what the circumcision is, and you find out God told the Jews to be circumcised, and there was a reason for that, and the Gentiles are the uncircumcision. So words in the Bible mean something. So when you see those words, you understand the context of what you're what the Word of God is talking about. Now, we know what a barbarian is. You've
married once.
Seen movies. Some of us guys are married to some barbarians when they don't get their way. But
actually, John, in Greek, barbarian referred to anybody who wasn't Greek.
Mm-hmm. Who wasn't in Greek?
And Greeks considered themselves civilized, and anybody who was not civilized referred to as barbarians.
Okay.
One of the things I find interesting about this verse is everything else is this nor this, this nor this, but then we have barbarian and Scythian.
Yeah.
No terminology here. It's not this or this. It's barbarian, Scythian, comma, not norm, which I found kind of.
Yeah, and when we think of a barbarian, we think of the movies, the big old guy with sword cutting everybody up. And then Scythian. Wyndham probably knows and maybe what a Scythian is and where he came from. He was an Iranian nomad which migrated westward from Iran, from Central Asia to southern Russia and the Ukraine. They were vicious fighters. They were unruly. They were, you didn't want to get in their way. And they built an empire, and they were rich, and as with all empires, they end up collapsing. Bond or free, slavery and free men. But Christ, here what I want to concentrate on for a second. Christ is all and in all. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, "For as a man is one, or for as a body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So we're getting an idea of what's being talked about here. And then verse 13, For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. So it's talking about the body of Christ being one. All of us are part of that body if you're born again, but it's one body and we're all part of it. Galatians 3, 27 and 28. And that reads, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ..." Now, when you see that word baptized, don't always think of water. Otherwise, you end up what we call a water dog or God's Navy, because you end up in the Church of Christ where you have to be baptized in water in order to be born again. And that's heresy. So get the context of whenever you see certain words and you'll understand what it's talking about. We have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. Verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ." Now, here's what many people do. You take the groups out there today and they know certain verses. The drunks will know, "Have a little wine for thy stomach's sake." The perverts will know, "There is neither male nor female." And you can see and understand how that people distort Scripture when they take a verse out of context. And what they do today with that verse, they try to make everything unisex. And that's why you see the what's going on in the world today. The transgender, the acceptance of homosexuality, and all sorts of perversion. Because they'll take a scripture to back up their belief and pull it out of context. So you've got to be careful.
Question for you then. We were at a friend's house, and they go to a Presbyterian church, something like that, and they had their woman preacher over there, pastor. And she used that verse as, you know, when I told her, she asked where I went to church, and I told her, and you could see the hackles raise up, because she knew where it was, where stood on that. And she used that verse as a justification for her being a pastor.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, that's, we're talking about the body of Christ here, but in the offices of church, that they're, those are defined.
Right.
And get along.
And you run them to the qualifications for any of the leaders in the church ministry, pastor, a deacon, and an elder, and it is the husband of one wife. In a Baptist church I was in up in New York when I first started going there, had one woman there that says, well, it could mean, too, that it's the wife of one husband. No, you don't change the Word of God to fit your beliefs. You change your beliefs to come in line with what the Word of God says. Be careful when... that's why I emphasize understanding the context of Scripture so that you don't get caught up in these things. So we have one body, many members. Once you're in Christ, you're neither a Jew, you're neither a Gentile, but you're a Christian. You're no longer a Greek. You're a Christian. Now, we find out in Scripture there's three nationalities, classes of people, however you want to define it, that come from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There's a white race, the black race, and the yellow race. That's it. Anything else is a combination of those three. As God looks at us, at the human race, there's only Jew Gentile in the Church of God. You're either a Jew, a Gentile, or a saved person. And you find that in 1 Corinthians 10:32. And then in Ephesians 1:23, it says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Again, reaffirmation of Christ being all and in all. And when it talks about being in all, he's in every saved person. So God doesn't recognize, if you're saved, he doesn't recognize you as a lost person any longer. As I said earlier, when he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me under the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And thank God for that. But that does not give us a license to sin. No. Be careful with that. Because as I've said over and over, there, Galatians 6:7, you've got to bring the Bible into whatever you're going to do. And understand how God works in each situation. So, again, you can have wisdom, you can have knowledge, but unless you have understanding, you're going to have problems, because understanding is knowing how God works in each situation. So be careful how you live your life. Now, anyone who is born again is part of the body of Christ. You know that. If you don't, you know it now, or if you didn't. Anyone baptized into Christ is part of the body of Christ. It makes no difference what name tag you have. You can be a Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever it is. If you're in Christ, forget those name tags. You may go to a particular church, but you better be going, because that church teaches the Word of God and stands on the Word of God, not because you like how they are, because they have programs, they have suppers and so forth, but to be fed the Word of God. Now, this wasn't true in the Old Testament. You were not baptized in the Old Testament. You were not baptized into the body of Christ. There was no spiritual circumcision in the Old Testament. It just wasn't there. Salvation in the Old Testament is different than what it is today in the New Testament. Now, that doesn't take away that you need faith to get saved or be right with God in the Old Testament. You all need faith in any dispensation, any time period. Faith, you need that. But they did not have the blood of Christ. They did not have that sacrifice in the Old Testament so that they were put into the body of Christ. The Old Testament saints were never put into the body of Christ because Christ had not come as yet. Now, another thing name tags. You have Italian Americans, you have Irish Americans, you have African Americans. How many people, I did, when I worked at GM, I used to do this all the time, because I worked with a lot of different ones, and I cracked jokes. It didn't matter who they were. I was an equal opportunity person. And that's why most of them liked me, because I showed no favoritism. Right. I wasn't racist, to speak of. With my last name and working where I did. But anyway, you ask these people, when were you ever in Africa? When were you ever in Italy? When were you ever in Ireland? Most of them have never been there. How are you telling me you're an Irish American? You've never been there. I know it's descents and all that. But when you become a Christian, you're no longer an Irish American, an African American, whatever. You are a born again Christian. Same, you know how I rail. I'm a real Southerner, but I picked up my accent because Lee sent me up north to spy on the Yanks. And you have that even today, that separation, the North and the South. Now, why? What's the difference? If you're saved, you're a Christian. You're no longer riding for Lee or supporting the South to rise up, although God is going to come down from the north to the south to earth when he brings down the New Jerusalem. And I always use that when I talk to the Yankees and how God is a real Southerner and so forth. But that's all in fun on my part. But you've got people that are serious and still have that separation there. But when you're in Christ, forget all that stuff. You're one with the Lord Jesus Christ. So move on, enjoy life, quit being a jerk about things, and enjoy life. So so we've seen that salvation in the Old Testament was different. You don't worry about name tags. The reason is Christ is a regenerator within the individual believer. He regenerates those that are born again through the Spirit of God. Now, each one of you should know how you get born again and what takes place when you get born again. And if you don't, then as sit in on the classes and on the preaching and pay attention, and you'll learn what it's all about. And don't let that take the place of your individual's reading and studying. We need to be studying the Word of God. And if you don't know what you should be doing, and that's a problem with most saved people. They don't know where to start. What do I read? What do I do? You need to learn how you should go about to learn. And it makes life a lot easier for you. And we'll cover that one of these days. So you have Christ being the regenerator. He restored to us the image that Adam lost. Now you know that Adam was called a son of God. He had God's image. He is called the first Adam. Christ is called the second Adam. The image that Adam lost in the garden when he sinned, Christ now brought back so that those of us that are born again have his righteousness. And that's what the image is the righteousness of Christ. So Adam was called the son of God. He lost that image. So Christ comes to restore that image once again. The image, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here's another thing. There's mysteries in the Bible, basically seven mysteries. Do you know what those mysteries are? Are you able to deal with other people and show them from the Word of God? What are the mysteries in the Word of God? This is one of those mysteries. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you have Christ living in you, which is the Holy Spirit, which is God Almighty. You have the Trinity living within you if you're born again. What have you got a reason to be down about? Oh, sure, we go through hard times. We go through heartaches. But we look to the future as Christ looked beyond the cross to what he would gain. We look to the future. What am I going to gain? Oh, I got to go through this life. I got another 70 years to live. 70 years. You know how old I'll be? 70 years, I'll be 90 years old. And again, that just goes to show you the Bible is right. All men are liars. But what is 70 years, 90 years, compared to all eternity? Yeah. Look to the future. Lay out a plan. How do you want to be in that future? You want to receive rewards. You want to receive your inheritance. You want to be part of God's government, Christ's government, going on into eternity. Is it worth living a life here on this earth for a few short years to bring honor and glory to the Lord, to gain in the future for all eternity? It's a decision that each one of us has to make. So, Christ being the regenerator, we're born again. The new man inside has joined you to God. He is in you, and you are in him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." One spirit. When we live our life, we should pray about things as decisions come up. We need to pray about them to make sure it's right. And I'm not talking about stupid things. No. You know, I need a pen. Should I get a blue pen or a black pen? Should it be a zebra or some other type of pen? You know, those things are stupid. I need a new car. God, what kind of car should I get? Should I get a Ford? Should I get a Mercury? Should I get a Chevy? You figure things out. What kind of car do you like? Do the reviews on it. Find out. Use your head about those things. But when it comes to spiritual things, you go to the Lord. Seek the Lord's advice and guidance. Now, Christ being all in all and being in you, you know that was a prayer that was answered, that Christ prayed. You'd look at John 17, 9 through 11, which reads, "I pray for them." This is Christ talking now. "I pray for them," talking about people. "I pray not for the world." Can you imagine that? If I got up on national TV for men's prayer breakfast in the Congress or something, and I said, "I pray not for the world," you know what I'd be called? I'd be called a racist. I'd be called a hate monger. And then I'd tell them, "You know why I don't pray for the world? Because this world is going to be blown up. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed." You want to talk about the environment? Here's the future environment. Burn, baby, burn. That's what's going to happen to this world, this earth. So he says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." And then verse 10. It says, and all, or finish verse 9, "But for them that thou hast given me, for they are mine, for they are thine." They're not just, Christ didn't say they're mine, they're thine to the Father. I mean, and of course that includes the Trinity. And then in verse 10, it says, "And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." Christ is glorified in you if you're a Christian. We can't even grasp the meaning of that. In verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me." So we're kept by God the Father. We're in Christ's hands. We're in the body of Christ. And then John 17 down to verse 16, it says, "And they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." That's us. That's you and I that have been born again. We are not of the world. We changed. when we got born again, we should no longer be seen as a lost person is seen. We should be different. Our lives, our languages, our actions, our reactions, what we do, where we go, what we watch, what we listen to, should be different than what the world is. In verse 21, John 17:21, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one with us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Do you understand that? We have his glory. If we were in a spiritual world, there would be, a glow about us, and that would be Christ's righteousness in and through us. But the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one. They, you and I. We should be one in our thoughts, our actions, as the Father and Christ are one. There shouldn't be these stupid arguments between us. I don't like this one because they dress like that, or his hair is touching his ears. And I went through all that one, especially when my kids were young, in a Christian school when they first became popular. Everything was by the law. No hair touching the collars or on the ears. Detentions for all these stupid things. And what that did, that pushed a whole generation of Christian kids away from serving the Lord. Get away from those laws, even as parents, grandparents. There are rules and regulations that you have based on what the Word of God says, but you don't make the same mistakes. Learn from my mistakes and others that came up like I did, where you do things this way or else. You do things according to the Word of God, because here's the reason why. And you walk through Scripture with them. So we walk in the perfection of Jesus, not the religious, racial, economic, sectarian barriers that were up before and divided us. They can be put away. We don't need them any longer. We're in Christ. And I'll finish up with this. Arthur W. Pink, a preacher of the old days, says, if any occupation or association is found to hinder our communion with God or our enjoyment of spiritual things, then it must be abandoned. Anything in our lives that's going to harm our walk with the Lord, get rid of it. Anything in my habits or ways which mars happy fellowship with the brethren or robs me of power and service is to be unsparingly judged and made an end of, burned, put away, gotten rid of. Whatever I cannot do for God's glory must be avoided. Now, in this day and age, that's a hard saying, but that's how the Christians of old in the past generations had lived and applied these things to their lives. And you've seen what happened during that period of time. The Word of God got out throughout the world. There were revivals throughout the world. And we need, even though nationally and internationally, it'll probably never happen, but individually we can do that ourselves so that we live and to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Danny, pray for us, please.
Father, we come to you with such appreciation for the opening of your word. Gosh, Father, it astounds me. It just makes me realize how small in my intellect I really am. Father, we just praise you that you never You haven't given up on us. You keep giving us your word through John and the preaching, the studies that we do. And may we always be able to grow, Father. Pray for Floyd and his decisions have to make for the cousins and uncles, his father, that need to be sealed in the truth of your word. Father, we can't thank you enough for all the blessings we enjoy in this life, for the friends that we have, and for the people that care for us and look after us. Father, we always want to keep our pastor foremost in our minds as he leads us, and our teachers as they direct us and help guide us to the place where we need to be in our lives. So, Father, just be with us the rest of this service. Help us to worship you. May all the honor and glory go to you, Father. For in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.